Good afternoon and welcome to the Intrepid Birdman Show. On this afternoon's riveting program, I was going to read to you from my forthcoming book, Conquering Impotency, but unfortunately, I couldn't get it up here in time. So instead, Alex Wright and Busby Barclay will read to you from the pages of Reuters, fascinating facts and bits of trivia from England, the Empire and abroad. Hilly Dimes will bring you some more of her fabulous hot gossip. Chris Law will bring you the Sunday Moan, and Steve Ryder will participate in another radio play. Plus, of course, all the regular features, up to and including another great do-it-yourself spot, where this afternoon we take a look at the fascinating world of the advertising executive. Gosh, I couldn't imagine there could be so much in it. Good afternoon and welcome to the Intrepid Birdman's Guide to Becoming an Advertising Consultant. So, what does an advertising consultant actually do? In truth, very little. But he does have a special skill. His special skill required is, of course, the ability to tie together two radically diverse groups of people, the creative and the uncreative. Apart from this, it's all flannel. A consultant does no actual job himself. He is consulted. He then, in turn, goes out and canvasses the opinions of others. And for a small fee, he will return and regurgitate the whole lot verbatim. This is called expert knowledge, and there will be more about this a little later in the programme. But first, it is vital to stress the importance of superlatives. One must learn to weave a spell with every word. It is not sufficient to just build castles in the air. One must charge office space to one's clients to live in them. No matter how dismal or dubious one's advertising campaign, any objection to spending huge sums of money must be swept aside in a tide of bullshit and flannel. Remember that in the consultancy world, one is measured by the size of one's advertising budget. The more money that one can flush down the toilet, the greater one's chance of appearing on the front covers of campaign magazine. Having thus raised one's profile, it is far easier to get even more large sums of money to flush down the toilet. And so it goes on. In part two, we'll take a closer look at the work of the advertising executive and try to find out why it is that large companies with huge sums of money are indeed so gullible.
Only another £50,000 to go, Brian. I'll take another bundle of fibres. Come on, it's nearly all gone. There it goes. Bye-bye, Mommy. Bye-bye.
That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your thumb. We got to install microwave ovens, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs. Move on, move on.
Once more to the geeky world of the advertising consultant. How to become one? Lesson 2. The advertising consultant should always be a snappy and fashionable dresser. He should always impress one as being the very epitome of where it's all at. It of course goes without saying that he should subscribe to all of the media publications, especially campaign and marketing. He should know a funny story about everybody who appears therein, know them all on Christian name terms, and prefix them with the title, My Dear, for instance.
My dear Nigel, oh, come in, sweetie.
Indeed, effeminate gestures have never left the world of advertising. Everyone is referred to as darling, dear, or sweetie. All the more so if one is addressing a member of one's own sex. In fact, it is quite in to make extravagant sexual overtones to members of one's own sex. For instance...
Nigel, just whip off your trousers and pop in and see me for a moment, dear boy.
Or better still, sit on my lap and I'll nibble your earlobes for 10 minutes. This sort of nonsense implies no latent homosexuality, but a simple understanding of the rules. And may have something to do with the old boy network and the fagging system, but we won't go into that just at the moment. Just understand that it is necessary to behave in this unbelievably camp fashion, or you will be spotted immediately as an imposter and ragged horribly. He should learn to wave his arms about a lot and cultivate an expansive gesture. He should gush cordiality. His office should be a shrine filled with the useless ornaments of his profession, the portals of which should be guarded by an oversexed and husky-voiced secretary with huge mammalian glands. This creature is to be his greatest asset, She should have the ability to bring in a cup of coffee and drape them over the customer's shoulder in such a way for him to be momentarily distracted while the matter of the fee is brought up. Thus distracted, the heat of his loins now destroys his reasoning power, whilst you work on him slowly, outlining your advertising campaign. Now you may think at this stage that the whole matter seems a little unscrupulous, but if you have room for scruples, then you certainly don't have room for a career in advertising. In any case, your client's product is almost certain to be utter crap. If it was any good at all, he wouldn't require your expertise. No, your job isn't to sell people things that they already have, or already know about, or intend to get because it's something terribly and frightfully useful. Your job is to get rid of that surplus junk, the things that people have to be educated to need. Who, for instance, has a use for a vaginal douche, or one of those funny plastic things that looks like a squashed bucket that one uses to exercise one's tummy muscles? In our next part, we'll be taking a look at a product and the means of marketing it. Welcome back to Do It Yourself, Become an Advertising Executive. And let's take a look at a typical product. As you can see, we've deliberately chosen a fairly difficult to market commodity, sheep dung. So, what might one say about it? Well, the advertising executive is never short of a few words to say about any product, and here is where experience really tells. So let's take a look at it from a sales point of view. Firstly, it's relatively easy to manufacture. It's of a generally uniform size, weight, shape, and texture. It's a natural product, and it has a great many exploitable qualities about it. It has relatively few competitors in the marketplace. What else might one say of it? It's organic. Now, there's a buzzword for today. It's a natural green product. It's convenient. It's ready to use straight from the packet. It contains no artificial colourings, flavourings, or additives. You see, already you're beginning to get the hang of it. So what then of its desirability? The skillful advertising consultant would learn to sidestep these dangerous side issues. His job is to get the product into every home regardless. So how might he go about it? Obviously, it's a matter of presentation. The product must have a name, and the name should appeal to its target buyer. Its target buyer is ideally aged between 18 and 25. The group with the largest disposable income. Old enough to earn a decent living, but young enough and balmy enough to spend it on a pile of crap. So here it is, a young, trendy product, and its packaging should reflect that. Bold design and bright colours. A careful choice of retail outlets. Record shops, clothes shops, shopping malls, that sort of thing. Packaged in an entirely different way and under a different name, the same product could be sold to a different target group. The middle-aged housewife. The small child. The possibilities are endless. What is required here is what is known as brainstorming. It's a kind of group therapy for high-powered advertising executives. Basically, one fills the room with vacuous people and a bottle of scotch. Vacant ideas are batted one to the other until eventually some sort of sense emerges. It's not a guaranteed process, and with some of the more highly paid advertising executives, can take several weeks. However, it's often worth the effort, because one never knows what kind of idea might emerge. Join us in the next part, the planning meeting.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Ooh, I'll get by with a little help from my friends. Ooh, I'll get high with a little help from my friends. Ooh, I'll get by with a little help from my friends. My friends. What do you do when our love is away? Does it worry you to be alone? How does it feel by the end of the day? Are you sad because you're on your own? I'll get by with a little help from my friends. Ooh, I'll get by with a little help from my friends. Ooh, get by with a little help from my friends. Do you need anybody? I need somebody to love. Could it be anybody? I need somebody to love, to love, to love, love.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and welcome to the planning meeting. Here is the new product. Now, this is a young product, and we're looking for a snappy name and a catchy catchphrase. So, first of all.
Isn't that a sheep shed, David?
No, Brian, no. That's an organic briquette.
Ah.
Freeze-dried for your convenience and brought straight from the farm to your home, all right?
Yes, thank you for clearing that up. It did look awfully like a sheep shed from where I was sitting.
Yes, all right, thank you. So, first of all, we're looking for a name, and I think something young and snappy.
What about Snappy Crappies?
Too obvious.
Happy Snappy Crappies.
Too happy, I think. Something more organic.
Dungies. Pongos.
Something that reflects more the nature of the product, I think.
Stinkers, I think.
No.
Fisherman Jigs. Homegrown organic turnettes.
I like the traditional approach. More farmy, less fishy.
Mr. Shepherd's Whirly Turds.
Good.
The freshness of the farm for you to enjoy at home.
Fine, that's lovely. I like that one.
You can't lick a turd on a stick.
Sticks?
Yes.
Would you be mentioned sticks?
Yes, it's more convenient. It melts in the mouth and not in the hand or something.
Yes. Well, you don't actually eat it, Brian. Well, anyway, yes, thank you. We've got a name, so a catchy slogan would be nice.
I think I've got one. A million housewives every day pick up a bag of crap and say poop, 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 or something.
No, I don't think so.
What about a hazelnut in every bite?
You don't eat it, silly.
Sorry, silly me. Completely missed that bit.
Can we just get it clear in our minds? This is not an edible product.
Yes, but what is it exactly?
It's easy and convenient.
Yes, but what's its purpose?
To improve your lifestyle.
Yes, but how do you use it?
You use it straight from the packet. No mixing, messing or fuss.
Yeah, but what's it for?
For only £2.99 a bag. Brian, what is the matter with you? You're beginning to irritate me. What is this interrogation?
What about a turd in nine saves time?
What about we all go down the pub and discuss this later?
Yeah.
And so, do-it-yourselfers, we discover at the end of a brainstorming session that our product is now uniquely identified and named. We have only now to look at packaging in order to launch it into an... just after the break.
Fed up? Bored? Miserable and depressed? Don't feel like there's any way out? Feel like jumping off the roof? Don't do it, Dad. There's an easier way out. The Heckler & Koch P7 Automatic Pistol. Go out with a bang with Heckler & Koch. You wouldn't want to be seen dead without it.
Never let me lose her head.
Welcome back to the frightfully trendy world of the advertising consultant. Having successfully identified our product and given it a rather super name, we're now about to look into the difficult business of packaging. Here, if anywhere, is a minefield for the unwary. There are various different ways that a product may be packaged, but only one is right for our target buyer. We're going to play safe here and market this same product under a variety of names. First of all, we're going to take a look at the 18 to 30 age group. Here we're marketing a product called Dungies. This is a young and trendy product, and the packaging should reflect this. It's intended that the product should be sold from a number of retail outlets, including shopping malls. For the busy housewife, Mr. Shepherd's Whirly Turds is our new green product. It will come in a euro-sized container and will contain several family-sized portions. For the under-fives, Turdettes, a small snack-sized bar that can be broken off into convenient pieces. These will be placed at the dump bins just by the supermarket checkout tills, where Junior can kick up all kinds of a fuss if he doesn't get one straight away. Finally, there's the Crapette, a very small, discreet-sized packet about the size of a box of matches. This is a special product and comes with a throwaway outer wrapper. The idea behind this product is that not everyone wants you to know that they're carrying a sheep shit in their pocket. With the outer layer of cellophane now removed, it looks like any other discreet product, and can be easily passed off as a packet of prophylactics. No embarrassment potential there at all. Over now to our resident packaging expert, Boris Doppelganger.
Good evening, boys and girls. Yep. Welcome to Uncle Boris's packaging class. Well, as most of you will be aware, the idea of packaging is not only to protect the product from the outside influences of the world at large, but also, in this case, to protect the world at large from the influences of the evil stuff in the packaging.
Thank you, Boris. Don't get carried away.
Yes, well, anyway. In the case of the children under five, we have a blister pack. This neatly contains the product in its own vacuum-packed atmosphere and prevents leakage and spillage, but allows the child to inspect it and poke their fingers at it and that sort of thing, what they do, yeah?
Very clever, yes. Good.
Anyway, the large Euro-style box for a Mrs. Average housewife, as you can see, is emblazoned with these special offer and tuppence off-type stickers. This is important from a point of view of perceived value.
Mm-hmm.
And here, a piece of sheer marketing genius.
Ah.
Pressed into a small box about the size of a CD, we have the shopping mall version for the 18 to 25s.
Mm.
Ho, 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 ho. It's a box with a message. And the message is, there's nothing but crap in this box.
Mm.
It works every time.
Yes.
And for the under fives, this primary colored box here. Splendid little bite-sized bar with a big bold clown on the outside and a free balloon.
That's not a balloon, Boris.
Oh, sorry, yes. No, of course, that is the discreet package.
Yes.
The children's one is next to it.
Of course.
Well, that's it for packaging.
Thanks a lot, Boris. And in our next and final part, we'll be taking a look at that way of burning off even larger sums of money. Yes, the television advert.
Drag in a leather man's stare. truck. I'd bump for a buck. Tips of my G-string made my living. In hot cop drag, in Leatherman stag, dressed to tease him, stripped to please him.
Welcome back to Do-It-Yourself Become an Advertising Consultant. There is no more surefire way of getting your face on the front cover of Campaign Magazine than an expensive series of television commercials. The art of the television commercial is, of course, complex, almost impossible to describe in detail. But suffice it to say, a 30-second spot, repeated many times a day, guarantees your product immortality. It will become a household name. So how's it done? Let's have a look at a few examples.
Ah, smell that? Yes, that's the smell of the countryside. This is Whirly Turd Farm, home of Mr. Shepherd's Whirly Turds. Each one organically grown in his own individual sheep. Truly, the freshness of the countryside for you to enjoy at home. Mr. Shepherd's Whirly Turds. A fistful of goodness in every bag.
As you can see, a surefire winner. The product is uniquely identified with good things coming from the countryside. This will appeal to our green-conscious consumer. So let's try now Mrs. Average Housewife.
Yeah, Mum, why are your hands all rough and red and raw and scaly?
Because I'm not your mother, that's why.
Jimmy Smith's Mum uses Shepherd's Whirly Turds. Oh, she says if she plunges her hands straight into it after doing the washing up, they stay soft and supple, just like a baby's bottom.
Then perhaps, young man, we should pop down to the supermarket and buy some. I might encourage your mother to stay indoors and do the washing up instead of leaving it for us. What a good idea.
It'll certainly stop me growing up to be gender confused.
In this example, a woman can immediately identify the standard role models. In a fit of conscience, discovering she's the only woman in the street not using Shepherd's Whirly Turds, and thus depriving her family of something vital, she tears off to the supermarket and buys a large catering bag. Let's now take a look at our younger audience.
Hey, Spotty.
Oh, mate.
Are you still using that old-fashioned turd?
Yeah.
That's no good. Loses its smell halfway through the day.
Oh, no.
Try some of this Shepherd's Whirly Turd.
Ooh.
The girls can't keep their hands off it.
Ooh, so smooth. And it keeps its lingering odour for a full 24 hours. Not like the other stuff. I'll be sticking to Whirly Turds from now on.
Yes, oh. If you stick to Whirly Turds, you can be sure it will stick to you.
In a 30-second television commercial, the most effective form of assault is, of course, the jingle. The little rhyme that everyone remembers, the silly slogan that nobody can forget. This is particularly useful when aimed at the under-fives.
There's sheep dung at the shepherds, you can smell it straight away. It's full of cuck and horrid muck, and you can get one there today.
Indeed, the advertising jingle is probably the most pernicious of all forms of advertising. Before long, Junior, with no further prompting, will be endlessly repeating it in the school playground, driving his poor parents to the limit of their endurance by so doing. Eventually, the only way to shut him up at all is to wedge one down his throat. Well, that's television commercials. Join us shortly for our final part, where we will investigate the subliminal or soft sell.
Everything I do for you. Safe hands. Ooh.
I do for you.
Welcome back to Do It Yourself, Become an Advertising Consultant. Well, the more aware of you will have noticed that in that simple song there was a very powerful sales message. Pop out, buy yourself an expensive car and drive it very fast. The ability of our brains to decipher these strange and subliminal messages is something that is little understood by science, but greatly understood by the advertising executive. Here is another more frightening and insidious example. Sounded like gibberish, didn't it? But your brain is capable of deciphering that message, even though it's played backwards. In 10 minutes' time, the irresistible desire to go out and buy a Canderel washing machine has now been planted in your subconscious, so deeply that you are unable to resist it. Even embedded under layers and layers of other more innocent sounds, this message is still heard. Scientists believe that a constant barrage of such advertising is capable of inducing a neurosis. The public actually becomes super-saturated with sales messages, behaves in a baffled fashion in supermarkets, is unable to make up its mind about anything, and eventually sinks into a fit of depression. For further proof of this, take a look at our present economic climate. Well, let's not dwell on that. That just about wraps it up for do-it-yourself advertising for this week. But stay with us for our final part, product placement, where a suitable sum of money can be placed in the right hands and your product placed in the right TV soap opera.
Fresh biscuits or hot apple pie. And I'd spend all day long in the basement torturing rats with a hacksaw and pulling the wings off of flies.
Those were the good old days. Those were the good old days. The years go by but the memory stays. And those were the good old days.
I can still remember good old Mr. Fender, who ran the corner grocery store. Oh, he'd stroll down the aisle with a big friendly smile, and he'd say howdy when you walked in the door. Always treated me nice, gave me kindly advice. I don't know why I set fire to his place. Oh, I'll never forget the day I bashed in his head. Well, you should have seen the look on his face. Let me tell you now,
those were the good old days. Those were the good old days.
The years go by but the memory stays. And those were the good old days. Michelle, she was my
high school romance.
She was fun to talk to and nice to smell, so I took her to the homecoming dance. Then I tied her to a chair and I shaved off all her hair, and I left her in the desert all alone. Well, sometimes in my dreams I can still have made it home. I tell you,
those were the good old days. Those were the good old days.
The years go by, but the memory stays. And those were the good old days. Let me tell you, buddy.
Those were the good old days. Those were the good old days.
The years go by, but the memory stays. And those were the good old days.
And finally, product placement.
there's been a lot of controversy in the press about a number of famous brand names currently seen in certain BBC TV soap operas. Is this an accident? Of course not. The blacked-out cornflake packet is a thing of the past. Product placement is here to stay.
Join us now in the Costa Fortune for Sun, Sea, and Sandwich Board, Silverado. Silverado is sponsored by Haifu Tea, because when you see this, you'll think, time to put the kettle on.
Oh, what a nice car.
Yeah, it's a Road Up 2000, 0-60 in one episode. Designed in Britain, built in France, nicked in Spain. Oh, the free European market.
I'm really worried about Fuzz. We haven't seen her for 3 episodes.
You think she might be written out?
I hope not. She's still got my nicey trainers.
I didn't know you did sport.
In these trainers? You must be joking.
Ah, Drew. So, what'll it be then?
A pint of Gormless, please. It looks good, it tastes good, and by golly, it makes you drunk.
Oh, there you go. You don't look well.
No, oh, God, it's terrible headache.
Tense, nervous headache.
Why?
Take Headache O'Gon for fast relief. Headache O'Gon will cure your headache or your money back. Guaranteed. Your headache cured or some of your money back. Remember the name, Headache O'Gon, with the no money back guarantee.
Why?
But, Marie, what if your husband comes home?
Sven, shut up and make a mad passionate love to me. I hope you remember to bring some protection.
Well, I bought a big stick, so if your husband does come home early...
No, I meant contraception.
Well, I have brought some Duress condoms.
That'll do nicely. Remember, when you have sex, make sure it's under Duress.
Oh, and what about that Sven and Marie, then? I mean, they're worse than the couple in the Gold Blend commercial.
Jesse, you're terrible. Oh, you've bought a tin of Hum's baked beans. A million housewives every day. We're cup of tin, the beans and say, for God's sake, open a window. I didn't know you liked Hum's baked beans.
Well, I don't really, but I haven't got a jacuzzi and it's bath night and, well, I fancy a bit of bubble round me back.
That would be 10 echoes, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have you got change of an emu?
Ma'am, there's no toilet paper. It's that bleeding dog again.
All right, there you go.
Toilets to wipe your bottom.
Honestly, that boy. Oh, look at this washing. Why can't I get rid of these butter stains?
Because it's fat.
And what about these fat stains? I can't shift them.
Because it's fat.
And why does my husband keep drinking in bars?
Because you're fat.
Why do you have to come home in this state?
I had to come home, the bar was shut.
Hello?
Your hair always looks wonderful. So soft and manageable.
I wash one half of my hair in new Rinso shampoo and the other half in new Diet Croak. While the Croak half is low in calories, the Rinso half feels so soft and manageable.
And your clothes always smell so summer fresh.
That's new sud. If Daz won't shift it and Bold won't budge it, sud it.
And that was the last in the prison series. And now on BBC One, drama, adventure, exotic locations, style and sophistication. Yes, it's time for the commercial break.
Well, that wraps it up for advertising, but still to come on the Intrepid Birdman Show, Alex Wright and Busby Barclay will read to you from Reuters, Chris Law will bring us the Sunday Moan, and of course there's the fabulous Hilly's Hot Gossip. Watch out for that, coming shortly.
Was out to get me. Now that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave.
get is pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Yes, I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Oh, blimey, look how the time's flying by. We must be having fun. So what's still to come on the Intrepid Birdman show? But of course, we've got Vlad the Impaler, another madcap adventure in the Carpathian mountain range. We've got the Sunday Man with Chris Law, and we've got Hilly's Hot Gossip. We've also got Busby Barclay and Alex Wright with more news from Reuters.
Last January, Nigel Hayward was released from a 2-year sentence for robbery using a banana. The next day, he walked into a bank with a banana under his shirt, and the cashier gave him £295. The same trick worked in a building society where he got £1,500. Later, he was arrested for arguing in a nightclub called Joe Bananas in Bristol. He was jailed for another 6 years. Last November, two policemen in Newport, Gwent, reported seeing a woman in a window brandishing a weapon. Armed police surrounded the flat for 3 hours, using 9 police vans to seal off roads. Eventually, 2 terrified teenagers emerged, shouting, "Hold your fire!" What the policeman had seen was a 13-year-old girl with a television remote control. An 84-year-old woman sat for over 2 months on her balcony in a Stockholm suburb last winter. She may have died while watching fireworks on New Year's Eve. Police found newspapers from the beginning of January on her doormat. She was finally noticed on the 16th of March, sitting on a chair on her balcony dressed in a coat and hat. Her forehead was leaning against the railing. Her neighbour realised something was wrong when she saw the woman on the balcony around the clock despite freezing temperatures. "I blame myself for not having seen her earlier," she said. The hair of 8 people in the Hungarian village of Heves turned bright lilac overnight. Shortly afterwards, there were 6 more cases in the village of Exed, less than 4 miles away. The local doctor suggested that the phenomenon could have been caused by an unknown shampoo sold by a travelling salesman passing through the area. A 76-year-old South African gentleman, rejoicing in the name of Nimrod Nabini, was recently charged with a somewhat unusual crime of stabbing and beating a penguin to death. He told a Cape Town magistrate that he acted in self-defence after being pecked. The Raelian sect, founded by a French contactee, has commissioned Swiss architects to design a flying saucer-shaped embassy to welcome space aliens with hot baths, fresh food and comfortable beds. They hope to build it near Jerusalem before the expected arrival of the aliens in the year 2000. The Raelians, who say they've won 31,000 supporters across the world since the sect was founded in 1973, claim that they are already in contact with the extraterrestrials. They're discussing the embassy project with the Israeli government. Mrs. Elizabeth Wells, a wealthy American divorcee living in Axford, Wiltshire, lifted the lid on a heart-shaped pink satin gift box on 7th of November 1991. And found a poisonous 4-inch red-kneed tarantula inside, capable of paralysing humans with its bite. Mrs. Wells, an acute arachnophobic, screamed and dropped both box and spider, but a housekeeper trapped the spider until police arrived. The surprise gift had arrived in a jiffy bag mailed from London. The following day, the police web was said to be closing in on the love rival of Mrs. Wells. "We were looking forward to a quiet weekend in the country," said Miss Naomi Brief. "But a police helicopter circled overhead for 8 hours after a French tourist said that he had seen a woman enter the woods and a shifty-looking man emerge 10 minutes later carrying her dress. Later it was revealed that the man was Mr. Ted Darren, a transvestite who had gone into the wood to change in private." Interviewed while holding her guitar, Stacey Hart, the saucy songstress, said, I aim to win the NCW's The National Condom Week's competition with my comedy rap number, Jiggy 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 Slip It On. It has the lead lines, if you're feeling kinda randy, keep your three-pack fun hats handy. That puts across a vital message for avoiding AIDS and is a change from writing serious music. Hilda Kaplap, the NCW spokesman, said, Stacey's song is not for grannies to hear over Sunday lunch, but the council loves it. First prize is a trophy, and second prize, a year's supply of condoms.
Interviewed outside All Hallows Hospital, Auckland, Mr. John Cotton and Mr. William Crow agreed that they had been hired to catch an emu which had developed a habit of rushing out of the bushes, surrounding the 12th hole of the Howard Golf Course, and seizing, then swallowing, the ball that was about to be struck. We dressed as golfers and baited the tee with a new, well-positioned ball. When the emu dashed out, we dived for it and unluckily struck our heads together, leaving the bird to escape with the ball. Pini Mauro, a Swiss tourist visiting the Indonesian island of Sumba, was severely beaten by villagers who took him for a demon or ogre of local legend who kidnapped and ate children. Jason Wayne LaBerge, 20, opened a cage in a downtown zoo in Toronto to set free some flamingos. When they refused to leave their cage, he beat six of them to death with a broom handle. He was jailed for 8 months and ordered to pay £4,500. Francis McCory, a civil servant from Ruddington, Nottinghamshire, suffocated when his head jammed in a wash basin in his bathroom. A policeman broke into the house and found Mr. McCory slumped forward in the basin with his head under the tap, which had not been turned on. The inquest recorded an open verdict. Glenn Maloney thought his Jack Russell Terrier, Muggsy, had died when he was hit by a car in Maryland, USA, so he buried the pet 3 feet under as his two young children sobbed indoors. Muggsy turned up on the doorstep 14 hours later, presumably having dug himself out of his grave. Apparently, shock can cause dogs to go into a lifeless coma. Arnold, a young pig, was frozen and clinically dead when he arrived at the office of vet Campbell Mercer in London, Kentucky. His skin was purple, he'd stopped breathing, and he had no pupil response. Arnold belonged to Elizabeth Strunk, 8, who had only had him a couple of days when he froze to death in the family garage. Elizabeth and her mother took Arnold home for burial. Her father, Frank, returned from work and suggested soaking the animal in hot water as a last resort. Elizabeth soaked Arnold and massaged him, and a few hours later, he was squealing again. Madonna's publisher, Nancy Neiman, agreed to publish her book Sex on these terms.
I told her, no sex with children, no sex with animals, no sex with religious objects, and no actual penetration. And that didn't seem to be a problem.
And finally, a quote from Kim Hanslip, who flashes her breasts at strange men in the street.
It's revenge on behalf of womanhood. Tit for tat, if you like.
And tit for tat, if you don't like. Thanks a lot, Alex Strait and Busby Buckley, for that fascinating dip into the ganderbag of world affairs, as revealed by Reuters. Radio's equivalent of the tabloid newspaper. Coming up next, Vlad the Impaler.
He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was from the house of law. The army had just won the war. A crowd of people turned away, but I just had to look. Having read the book, I'd love to turn you
I noticed I was late. Found my coat and grabbed my hat. Made the bus in seconds flat. Found my way upstairs and had a smoke. And somebody spoke and I went into a dream.
Thanks once again to Alex Wright and Busby Barclay for that fascinating glimpse of world affairs. And now, time for our weekly soap, Vlad the Impaler!
He's not moved out of his chair for over a week. It's really not like him at all.
Worse, right enough. I haven't heard of a single impaling in over a fortnight.
Ought to get the doctor in, but you know how funny he gets about doctors.
Last one struck him off his list after that nasty business with the leeches.
Oh.
Took him over a week to get them out. I had to coax him down with a pork chop in the end. And he still walks with a limp.
Oh, I just don't know what to do for the best. Oh, see if he wants a snack or something. Oh, what's up, my dear? You look right down in the dumps.
Oh, I don't know. Must be me age. I can't see the point of it anymore. I used to enjoy a good impaling, but all the joy seems to have gone out of it. I just keep asking myself, what's it all for? What's the point of it all?
Point of it all, dear? Of course there's a point. It's what you do. People expect it of you. It's your vocation, if you like.
No, I can't see it. It all seems so bloody useless.
Oh, come on, Vlad. What kind of a world would it be without a bloodthirsty, tyrannical dictator rampaging around in it? You give people something that binds them together. A common hatred of oppression and tyranny. Why, it stops them arguing amongst themselves and nitpicking about trivial and silly things. Why, without you to moan about, they'd have nothing but tedium and monotony in their lives.
I can see that all right. But does it make any difference in the end? And why me?
Oh, come on, dear. Someone has to do it. Try to see it as a calling, a sort of higher purpose, if you like.
I suppose you're right, but I can't see it.
Now, look here, my dear. Before you came here, this village was a mess. Beggars on every street corner, sickness and ill health in every hovel.
Right.
People were frightened to go out shopping in case they were mugged or menaced.
Aye, true. It only took a day or so to put an end to that.
Look at the crime figures. Not a single mugger or pickpocket in the whole village.
Aye, true. All nailed up. But I never wanted to do all this, you know. Underneath it all, there beats an artist's heart. All I ever wanted to do was to write poems and compose music. It was me dad that pushed me into politics. I was happy with me colouring books under euphonium. This way of life was forced on me by a bullying father and a mother that never knew a tender...
Now you just stop that right there, Mr. Vlad, the so-called impaler. You are just feeling sorry for yourself. Now, you pull yourself together right now and go out to work. I'm getting sick and tired of you being under my feet all day. Music and poems, indeed. Stuff and nonsense. That's not the vicious, uncaring bastard I married talking to me. That's some weak and silly wimp.
Oh, I'm sorry, Duck. I don't know what come over me. All right, hand me down the pointy sticks. I'll take the dog for a walk. Oh, I don't know. I suppose she's right. Somebody has to do it. But why me? Oh, well, here we go then. All right. Oi, you! That man with the begging bowl. Come here, you bully sick duck. Oh, come on then. A cheering up song. You know the one. You always
the one you love, the one you should have heard.
Come here, you
at all. You always say the sweetest rose and blush it.
Come on, then, for crying out loud. That's not going to cheer me up, you miserable booger. Come on, get a tempo. It's more like it. Always is the one you know, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. So when you're feeling sad and blue, nail some booger to the casserole. Take it away,
you
man.
Always hurt the one you love. The one you shouldn't hurt at all. You always take the sweetest rose and crush it till the petals fall. You always break
crunch
the kindest heart with a hasty word you can't recall.
Hit the road, you bum!
So if I broke
crunch
your heart last night, it's because I love you most of all.
Sister, the father and the mother, with a microphone in one hand and a checkbook in the other, and the camera noses into the tears on her face, the tears on her face, the tears on her face. You can put them back together with your paper and paste, but you can't put them back together, you can't put them back together. What would you say, what would you do? Children and animals, two by two. Give me the needle, give me the rope. We're gonna melt them down for pills and soap. Four and 20 crowbars, journey your desire. Out of the frying pan, into the fire. The king is in the counting house, some folk have all the luck. And all we get is pictures of Lord and Lady Muck. They come from lovely people with a hard line and hypocrisy. There are ashtrays of emotion for the fag ends of the aristocracy. What would you say? What would you do? Children and animals, two by two. Give me the needle, give me the rope. We're gonna melt them down for pills and soap. Give me the needle, give me the rope.
pill is getting better still. You think your country needs you, but you know it never will. So pack up your troubles in a stolen handbag. Don't dilly-dally, boys, rally round the flag. Give us our daily bread in individual slices, and something in the daily rack to cancel any crisis. What would you say, what would you do? Children and animals, two by two. Give me the needle, give me the rope. We're gonna melt them down for pills and soap. Give me the needle, give me the rope.
You're listening to Fabulous BLR, Bromley Local Radio on 101.8 MHz VHF. This is the Intrepid Birdman Show. We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors.
We wanted to prove that our new washing powder would remove biological stains at lower temperatures than any other powder. First, we took one pair of sheepskin trousers and cut them in half.
Come here, you young bugger!
And wash one half in our new powder and the other in the leading rival powder. An hour later, we found that the half washed in the rival powder was still blood-stained. The half washed in our powder was brilliantly soft and fluffy.
Give us a kiss, come on, come on.
So there you have it. Conclusive proof that new Vladion Automatic cleans up the most tyrannical of households.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn the wireless back on again. Yes, once again, it's time to withdraw to the cluttered wardrobe of Chris Law's mind as we go down to the Three Bladders for the Sunday Moan.
Have you ever been driving along and you've seen one of them posters that says, "Drivers, watch your speed"? And they've always got a little bit of illustration, you know, the sort of thing, a car and a road. I saw a really good one the other day and I was having a look at it and I ran over a pedestrian. Brilliant. What about that advert for Fairy? You know, hands that do dishes can be soft as your face. I've got eczema. And that Nanette Newman, you know, she lays out two tables for tea for a load of Boy Scouts. Why does one table stretch much further than the other one? What a really stupid table layout. I mean, don't the Scouts get on or what? What does she know about those Scouts, eh? Still working. And that Domestos. If it kills 99% of all known germs, why don't they tell us which known germs it doesn't kill? Why is it every time you hear it's a K-Tel product, you know it's going to be crap? I am not a dentist. And that advert says cleans baths without scratching. Oh, sorry, I wanted a product that ruined my bath. Have you got one of them? And listen, who in their right minds would wash two identical shirts in two different powders? Who's got two washing machines, you know? Or do you go down the laundrette? Oh, I'd like two machines, please. Two? Yes, two. I'm going to wash this shirt in my usual powder and this shirt with this new product. Oh, really likely you'd look a bloody fool, wouldn't you? Go to work on an egg. I tried that messy business, all that yolk. Still working. By the way, well, I remember, if my dog grabbed the toilet roll and ran through the house with it, I'd push the bloody dog down the toilet. remember those ads for milk? Watch out, there's a Humphrey about. Humphrey used to sort of creep in and nick your milk. Makes you think, you know, why don't they have adverts for other criminals? Like, watch out, there's a flasher about. Don't leave your glass of milk unattended. When you come back, it might just have curdled. I bought a Bic razor this morning. It's really good. But it doesn't mean I'm going to buy the company. Still working. This product is not available in the shops. Why isn't it available in the shops? Is there something wrong with it? I mean, what aren't they telling you? You know. I bought some sleeping tablets. I didn't want to open the bottle. I thought I might wake them up. And if a million housewives every day pick up a tin of beans, surely they'd say, here, I had it first. It's mine. Give me that. Oh, yeah, yeah, come on. Only the crumbliest, flakiest chocolate crumbles all over the floor and makes you think, well, that was a waste of money. I didn't eat any of it. Nuts, all hazelnuts.
Calories take them and they cover them with chocolate.
What a great ad that was, eh? And we could have similar ads for other products, like paint, whoa, paint.
Crown takes the pigment and grinds it to a paste and mixes it with an oil base.
Still working.
Thank you, Chris Law, for that stimulating moan, and we'll be back to the Three Bladders on some future occasion. But now, the ever lovely, the ever wonderful, Hilly Dines with her fabulous hot gossip.
Hello, fellow hot gossipers. Or should I say cold gossipers this week? Because if you, like me, have been dragged from your nice warm beds and your lemsips, I know how you feel, because I have a stinking one. But I'll turn my attention to sexy superstar Tina Turner, who has hit back at claims that Whitney Houston is to portray her in a new movie biography. Hollywood bosses are spending £3 million recreating Tina's amazing life story in the new movie, What's Love Got to Do with It? And scores of hopefuls, including Whitney, have been considered for the lead role. Tina is quoted as saying, "Whitney won't be in the movie, we want an unknown who can act." Superstar Michael Jackson is bringing out a range of perfumes, not that I'll be able to smell any of them. The 32-year-old singer is launching two new fragrances called Le Jean de Michel Jackson and Mystique de Michel Jackson, sorry about the French accent. They will be available in Britain later this year. He got the idea from Liz Taylor's £50 million selling Passion range. The star's spokesman said the perfumes are very good quality. I should imagine if he brings out a bubble bath, it'll be called Bubbles. Three of the five presenters on Top of the Pops are being given the chop in a desperate bid to save the show. Claudia Simon, Fernie Oakey and Adrian Rose will all be told their contracts are not being renewed after more than a year of hosting the programme. The surviving presenters, Tony Doughty and Mark Franklin, are being given a month to get the ratings back on course or they'll be out too. BBC bosses are determined to axe the once top-rated show if it doesn't win back fans. Top of the Pops is currently claiming between 6 and 7 million viewers, compared to 16 million in the 70s. Intimate photos of Amanda de Cadenet and hubby John Taylor are being sold to perverts at £15 a time. The eight snaps include one of TV presenter Amanda lying on a bed while pregnant in a black bra but no knickers. In another, Duran Duran star John larks around in a shirt and jacket with nothing on below the waist. The pictures were meant for the couple's private album, but were copied by workers at the High Street Photo Lab where they were developed. Now prints are being sold in seedy London clubs. A friend of the couple who are in Los Angeles said they were disgusted to find out their private pictures were being pored over by perverts. The pictures are not even sexual, they're just a couple having a laugh together with a camera. Samantha Fox is being chased by the taxman after a survey claimed that she has a £5.5 million fortune. The Inland Revenue called on the former Page 3 girl when she was named as Britain's 179th richest woman. But Sam, 26, yesterday denied she has an enormous treasure chest, Speaking on TV, she said, it's not true. I am worth $5.5 million, and obviously I'm not poor, but it was just an assumption they came up with, and it didn't do me any favours with the tax man. Sam, appearing on ITV's This Morning show, was furious that in the survey, her modest £70,000 flat was described as a dump. How do they know, she said, they've never been in it. She says the home in Wood Green, North London was perfect because it's near her pals. Whether you love them or loathe them, Wayne's World is a hit video and it's out next month. But getting it translated throughout Europe has been giving the experts a bit of a headache. I mean, what exactly does schwing mean? Well, the Spanish think they've got the answer in doing. In France, they use chapoing and the Italians use shoe. The translation of party on in France means dying of laughter, and I love the Italian version, enjoy yourself strongly. Watch out for the Feeling Good video. It's an hour-long compilation featuring clips of people telling the camera, i.e. you, how great they think you are, what a good idea. It should join forces with the Insomniacs video, which featured sheep jumping repeatedly over a fence. Great videos of our time, I call them. Oh well, I think I'll go back to my Lemsip and my paracetamols and my nice warm bed. Bye for now.
Cheerio, Hill.
Oh look, we've run out of time. What a shame.
Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
And on this afternoon's star-studded extravaganza, Alex Wright was sponsored by Lever Brothers, Busby Barclay was sponsored by Mills and Boone, and Hilly Dines was sponsored by Beecham's Pharmaceutical Products. Chris Law appeared by kind permission of Murphy & Murphy, Builders and Decorators, and Steve Ryder came free with three packets of Daz. The Intrepid Birdman Show is a handcrafted product adapted for radio by speaking into a large microphone. And you can get your copy of it by phoning 081 840 6675.
Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Say goodbye, Overtine is.
Another happy hour.